Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day.
Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Paperback Bromance. As always, I am Matt. I'm joined with David and Phoebe today. How is it going, guys?
Hey, Matt. Dude, you're getting better and better at that little segue straightaway thing, man. We got to give you some kudos there.
I'm just pushing the buttons. Yeah, I'm just here pushing buttons.
I love it when you push buttons just right and not in the wrong way.
I push them nice and good.
Doesn't always push the best buttons, but...
but in this instance, we're going to say, hey, man, nice shot.
Nice.
That was good, smooth button push, I think. That one was good. Even I liked it. I hope the listener felt how good that button was.
Hey, on this episode of Paperback Bromance, we're going to be reading and reviewing, oh man.
Oh my God.
Coyote's Mate.
Oh my God. Oh,
by Laura Lee, which must be a pen name. It has to be, right?
I would hope so, because she spells it L-O-R-A.
Yeah.
This is book 18.
What?
Yeah, it is one of the novel of breeds, but it's not a series that you need to follow all of them. It's just kind of an interlooping world.
So I did my research. I went to her website, and I think I even read the Wikipedia page. And yeah, there are 33 of these books, plus some little novellas.
She is cranking them out.
Like, so, I mean, this is from 2009, so it's been a minute.
Listen,
it's
guys, been a minute. Maybe
New York Times
someday
bestselling author.
We'll have our own Wikipedia. Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
No,
I'm horrified at that.
I mean, we can have our own Wikipedia right now.
It doesn't
take that much. But.
All right. Anyway, I digress.
So as always, dear listeners, this podcast is full of spoilers. So if you want to take this journey with us, oh man, hit pause. Grab a copy of Coyote's Mate by Laura Lee, book 18 in the Breeds series. We'll be here waiting when you finish it.
I got this book for 50 cents.
You overpaid.
Store. I did overpay.
You overpaid.
I did. It's initially $7.99 in the U.S.
Depending on what you want to get out of the book.
I did not get what I wanted to get out of the book.
I think that's if someone is into this breed series and they only had to pay 50 cents, they were going to get absolutely everything they wanted.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, if that's what you wanted, all then you definitely got it. You got more than you bargained for. Oh boy.
So this is the story of Anya Corbin and Del Rey Delgado. Anya, a human who meets Delgada, a human coyote hybrid super soldier, when she is the ripe age of 16 and living at a laboratory in Russia run by her father, who is conducting experiments on these coyote hybrids. Anya has befriended three girls about her age who are coyote hybrids, and she has approached Delgado, known as the coyote ghost, to help break them out of the facility and leave a free life and not be experimented on, you know, all valid ideals. And then Anya makes Delgado swear that he won't hurt her family. But as the back of the book says, he always knew he would betray her. And that is an excellent segue to our first segment, which is Matt Splains, our main characters.
Matt, two? Yeah, I'm going to go with two.
What do you want to start? We're going to do ladies first, or...
We could do ladies first.
Okay. Talk to me about Anya, man.
We'll start with Anya. She is the daughter of a scientist who is apparently creating these hybrid breeds. And it's not just coyotes, as we come to find out, hence the series of this.
Yeah, it's not just breeds.
Right. Yeah. So this one does focus on the coyotes, but there are also wolves and felines of sorts.
Yeah, like yes. Tigers.
Lions and tigers and bears. Bears.
Oh, I haven't heard about bears yet, but there's wolves. My.
There's more books. So maybe we'll find. No, we won't read another one.
So in the research that I did, the coyotes are only like maybe two or three novels out of the plethora of breed novels that she's written. There's a lot more wolves and prides, and we'll talk about that later, but go ahead.
Of course. So Anya is a full human girl. She's 16 when we first meet her as this starts, which you might think this is going to be creepy, and it is.
It's a little creepy.
But they at least wait until she's 22 before it gets mostly creepy.
Okay.
The whole thing starts with a prologue that jumps 6 years in the whole start of it.
Yeah, and like 3 pages.
Go through
it's in really
three
jumpy.
Pages. She's 16, then she's 18, then she's 22. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
What do you think of her as a character? You had to read the last chapter too.
She's a good person at heart. She wants to help her people. She makes friends with these coyote female half breeds, which is not known to the rest of the coyote half breed family that there are females, but there's actually 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. It's kind of a well-known secret.
Wow. And they're being experimented on and trained, and she wants to get them out of there.
This puts a whole new perspective on this book for me.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, man.
So her father is this lead scientist that's doing this whole thing in this lab. There are multiple labs of people just making
across the world
half-breeds of everyone across the world.
But I don't know if we want to say half-breeds or if we want to say genetically modified.
Genetically modified.
They're essentially trying to make, the governments are trying to make super soldiers.
Yes.
And they call them breeds.
Yep.
That's what they specify them as. They don't call them coyote people. They just call them all breeds.
Breeds. Capital B.
Right. So this lab is in Russia. That's where she is. And Anya, that's a Russian name. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And her father is the lead scientist at this lab. Or not lead scientist. He's lead security, right?
Scientist.
Yep. Oh, her cousins are security.
Boom.
She has two cousins that are head of security
and here. Science. They're also scientists.
Yeah, it's all convoluted. There's a lot of stuff going on, moving parts. So she meets up with Del Rey Delgado,
which means like
who is
a king.
It's the one king, that one alpha,
something like that. Yeah,
something. Yeah, it's. I don't know.
That's all right. We'll get into it.
He's an alpha coyote. So he leads a pack of essentially coyote super soldiers. And he is scheming to break these females out, I believe, so he can breed his own pack and create more of his own super soldiers.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
That's just how I'm going to.
Yep.
Why else would you be doing it?
I don't know.
He promises her that nothing is going to come. No harm is going to fall to her family many times throughout this prologue, every time she asks.
Yeah.
And she's trusting him. And there's this lust between them the whole time. That's from when she's building. 16.
Yeah.
It's just building up. And I'm just like, this is weird. I don't like that. I don't like that. Then the next part, she's 18. Then she's 22. I'm like, I still don't like it, but it's a little better. It's kind of a grooming situation.
Yeah, definitely.
He seems to mean well. He wants to break these people out of, because they are people.
They are all people.
They
there's
are
no,
people.
Like, I mean, they might have like elongated canines or something like that. There's slight physical differences. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, genetically modified people that are trapped in a lab being experimented on. So he wants them out.
Yeah.
She wants them out. It seems like they're both righteous in this aspect.
It would be like experimenting on dolphins, dude. Like, no, or whales.
Right. You know? Can't be doing that.
No. But they're people.
So they're trying, they think they're teaming up for the same purpose, and they kind of are, but he's got ulterior motives, and they have this lust for each other that is unwavering, and we find out as the story goes on how unwavering it is. And I think that's Matt explaining the characters right there.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you know, not every now and then, because we've only done a handful of novels now, but you get pretty damn close to how these characters are.
Yeah, it's kind of uncanny.
It's you absorb a lot through those two chapters, especially that last one.
Too.
Oh yeah,
there was a lot to take.
There's
in.
Literally and figuratively, there's a lot to absorb there.
I'm so glad you are on the same page.
Oh, I'm there. Yeah.
Oh, the pun's intended.
I'm with it. The pun is definitely intended.
So I'm gonna be honest. There's not a lot of character development in these stories. It's more, you know, Anya's felt so betrayed. And so she's like, she loves him, but she hates him. And it gets very hot and cold, very hot and cold. It's very confusing as far as their jumbled emotions, especially because the coyotes are supposed to be kind of aloof. They're not really supposed to.
They don't have feelings. They're not supposed to empathetic.
Yes. Well put. So we meet our main characters in this really seedy bar in Russia, right? It's like a scary place to be, you know, wouldn't catch a teenager in there.
I mean, any bar in Russia is typically a scary place to be.
Del Rey, known as the coyote ghost, is in a meeting with Anya, and she's trying to get him to free the breed peoples that she's come to love. And he's like the other coyote breeds, he's lazy, they're manipulative, they're stubborn, and he's set in these very militaristic ways. Like it's this way or there's no way to go, right?
It's that pack mentality. You got to follow the leader. You got to do what you're supposed to do. And that's the only thing you do.
And of course, he's, you know, like 6'3", 6'4", just completely cut. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to meet a character in a novel that we're going to be reading going forward that isn't just like built perfectly.
As chiseled as this one.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, they all seem to be pretty chiseled as we experienced.
And all well endowed.
I've yet to find a flappy, small penis character in these books.
Nope, not one. Not one. I can't wait for that one book that we read that's just like, huh, micro penis. I can work with this.
That'll be great.
Fine.
Yeah. So Anya is whip smart. Sorry, we broke Phoebe for a second.
I was just thinking of a chode.
Yeah.
Yes, you were. Yeah.
I can't. I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, is to laugh at this shit.
Just get it together.
This is one of those times that I literally had to read all this smut.
Oh, my God.
So Anya is whip smart, feisty, funny, a straight shooter, and, a curvaceous Russian national.
Of course she is.
She puts her mind to something, man. She's going to get it. Like, it's going to get done. All right. She's also extremely underappreciated by Del Rey. Doesn't recognize her talents and her genius.
Right.
It took me an entire fucking book to be able to figure that out.
Sure.
Well, he's just trying to use her to get access to this lab, and he thinks she's curvaceous and attractive, and he wants her for her womanly ways.
This is fantastic. So both are feeling what is known as the mating heat.
Yeah.
The heat.
And all of the breeds feel this. And when one of the breeds is attracted to, it doesn't even have to be another breed. It can be a human. They are the humans, or that other person is going to get these same pheromones and hormones going. And it's literally you can't stop it.
It's a physical force that draws you in. It's a
physical force that you have to have sex. You have to mate, right? And we'll get into that craziness.
Oh, she even tells herself, not one more kiss. Okay, maybe just a touch. No, because nothing.
Yeah.
And then it just leads to...
It just rolls on through. And this is a beautiful segue, Matt. Beautiful. I'm loving this segue. So we can now go to Matt Splains the Plot.
Explain the plot. Yeah. So we start off, of course, we covered our prologue where they're meeting in a seedy bar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is over 6 years. They're planning this breakout of...
Mm-hmm.
These female coyote hybrids. Finally, and he's promising her the whole time. She asks every time, no harm's going to come to my family, right? No harm's going to come to the family. No, you're not going to kill my family. He's like, I'm not going to kill your family. No harm's going to come.
They're fine.
The breakout happens. She makes sure that her cousins are on one patrol and they're not supposed to be in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Del Rey is supposed to give her a heads up when it's supposed to happen. He does not. It happens like immediately after they meet. She goes back and then boom. Big surprise. No warning. Her dad gets shot. Both her cousins get shot.
And let us clarify this, not from the first meeting, but when they have their like last meeting.
The last meeting.
And he's supposed to give her a head. He's supposed to give the heads up and he doesn't.
Right. This is 6 years after we have the gun.
Yep.
He just bursts in with his team. Leave her family for dead, essentially. They're not, but...
Yeah, he like shoots him in the leg.
In the leg. He thinks they should be punished for their part in experimenting. Mm-hmm.
Because... If the breeds aren't, I don't even know if I touch on this in my synopsis, but if the breeds are not up to par,
they execute them.
Yes.
Oh.
And her dad is adamant that this is not a kill shelter. I guess.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Oh my God.
He says we don't do that. We take corrective measures,
which
I can't imagine are fun or humane either.
And from Delgado's experience, they're not.
They're not.
No.
And, but he maintains it's not a kill shelter for them.
Right. And I will a lot of the times be referring to him as Delgado because it was easier to write out than Del Rey.
Somehow, even though it's the same amount of letters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a hyphen there. For our dear listeners. Oh, Matt, are you done explaining the plot?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. So we're breaking them out and then we're trying to get to Colorado. So from Russia to Colorado.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. To a sanctuary, essentially, for breeds. And he wants to make an alliance with the wolf hybrids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And he knew the whole time, I think David touched on this, that he knew he was going to betray her trust the entire time they're planning
this. On the back of the book.
It's on the back of the
book. It's on the back of the book.
He knew he was going to betray her. And he's just like, you know what? Screw it. Maybe I'll get her back. We'll talk her into it. You know, we'll figure this out. And that's most of the plot, from what I gather. There's just a whole lot of humping in the middle until the end.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's the mansplaining. It's a whole lot of very graphic humping, mind you.
Again, you remember?
It is aggressive.
We've, I don't know if we. It's so aggressive.
Sorry. Literally.
And
it is wild. Also, they don't call their genitals their genitals. They call them their sex.
Yeah.
And the
which
heat.
Which is a common theme through romance novels.
And there's just a whole lot of drippings and wetness
all of a sudden they'll squirtings. Say cock.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's vagina or clitoris thrown in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, David, I feel like this might be a good time to do your trigger warning.
That might be a good idea.
That's probably.
I just wanted to make sure that Matt was done with his mansplaining because that's what I wanted to do next. Make sure
you might be.
I think I'm as done as I can be.
I think so.
We have fully finished.
We have. Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah. We have finished.
All right, dear listeners, there are some trigger warnings for this book. There is explicit sexual content.
Yes.
Violence and murder. Captivity and slavery, sexual assault, dubious content, trauma and PTSD, emotional conflict, and some very strong language.
Oh.
So if that's not your jive, you don't have to listen to the rest of this episode or read this book. But if it is, jump right in.
Now's a good time to take a brief pause, decide if that's something you want to go forward with, and then join us if you are. If not, no worries. We'll find you next episode.
Because they're not all going to be like this, guys.
No.
Okay.
Okay, and we are back. And now, David, how about you give us a brief synopsis? I've already mansplained what I think it is, but how about you tell us what it actually is?
Okay, so these these books are interesting. I had to go to Miss Lee's website to actually figure out how I was supposed to take these in. Because we just, you know, picked this book. You guys found this book.
I just found it.
Yeah, right.
We didn't know if we needed to read all 13 of them or if we could just read this one on its own.
This is 18.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So it turns out that each book is a precursor to the next novel.
Interesting.
So this is a precursor to book 19. And you can read them as standalone, you know, and they are what they are. They're really just trying to make you horny.
Yeah.
Dirty. There's you know, there's a story. It's not a great one. Not my favorite.
Yeah.
The characters are really kind of hard to get into.
But, well, not physically.
Nope. That was really easy. And there were a lot of elements that I didn't quite understand until I had read farther into the book. And like the crazy mating heat thing that goes with, like, they all experience it.
Right.
Like, it's just not just the coyotes.
That's fascinating.
It's very animalistic.
Yeah. It's very primal. It's very primal.
Like it's,
and I'm going to tell you some things that are, they're a little off the rails. So, and that Phoebe knows about.
Let's do this, guys.
So after they bust out and make their way to America, Anya puts the brakes on everything. Okay. She calls for a tribunal
mad.
Essentially breaks the mating bond with Del Rey. She's like, no, you betrayed me. This ain't happening. So if you're in the base, I'm not. And I need a heads up if you're going to be here. As she feels violated by the rules and restrictions. She actually says she feels raped, not by Delgado, but by what she has been essentially thrown into without her choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she's not a coyote hybrid. So she's not really part of this.
No.
What do they call them?
She was like, just trying to save her friends.
Right.
That's all it was.
She has no obligation to stay with them anyway.
Mm-hmm. So all these restrictions being forced upon her during being his mate. So she asks for a year to kind of acclimate to this new environment, which is a military base. Like, I mean, we're talking cots. Matt, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking fucking barracks here, dude.
Shitty bunk beds.
This is not a home, okay? This is Delgado's pack. He's the alpha, which we already talked about.
Yeah.
And she's going to have to get regular hormone therapy to suppress the mating heat, all right?
Even though she's a human and not a coyote.
Yep. So she's got to be taking these hormones so she's not like, and she can't touch herself.
Because he's like imprinted on her.
Yeah,
but we'll get into that.
And she feels physical pain if another male touches her. Like, it's wild, man. The story is so chaotic in the beginning. And I really felt lost as to what Anya was going through emotionally and physically and what exactly her role was. Because everybody's calling her the Koya. But I have no idea what that phrase is referencing to until later on.
I was also trying to figure that out because I ran into that in the last chapter.
So the arrangement goes, Del Rey is off on dangerous missions. Instead of running the coyote base, Anya's running the coyote base in his absence.
Mm-hmm.
That's what her role is. All right. So when he's not there, she's essentially the pseudo alpha.
She's like the queen coyote.
Yep.
And she is fucking crushing it, bro. She is doing really, really well. But they're in this place called the Wolf Stronghold of Haven. And they are in a little substructure called the base. All right. Mm-hmm. So after 8 months, Delgado's fed up. He's like, I'm done with this. He wants to be with his mate. He's telling the council that he already agreed that it's going to be a year. He's like, but you know what? 8 months is all you're getting because I'm a coyote, manipulative as fuck.
Yep.
All right. I want to be with my Koya.
Tricky tricksters.
Also, we learn that the humans are developing a drug that makes breeds into mindless weapons that follow orders without any type of conscience.
Interesting.
Shocking. If almost like that was the plan all along.
This is to the level where they're literally like almost like automatons. They have no idea what they're doing anyway.
Yeah.
So what ensues is this wild back and forth of tense romance, male domination. I mean, so much male domineering, dude. Like, you're not going to. Like, I mean, it's gaslighting at its finest. Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Del Rey and Anya have some wild hot sex, and he is having these weird feelings in his chest, you know, around this area. For this woman, even though he isn't really supposed to be feeling that love stuff, Anya, on the other hand, has realized that she loves this coyote man regardless of what he's put her through,
mm-hmm.
but is also really hurt and frustrated because he won't acknowledge her as his Koya, officially or publicly.
Yeah.
Because he is afraid for her life. He's afraid that she's being targeted. And if he's like, yes, he's my Koya, then she's going to be a constant target because this human city council in the county that they live in, I think, Matt, you already mentioned that they're in Colorado.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, which is a perfect, you know, climate for wolves and coyotes, right?
Naturally, you get to run around in the snow, you get to play and burrow and all that.
It's really strongly implied that they don't want breeds in their county anymore. Mm-hmm. So
it's your classic racism caveat, you know?
Yeah, xenophobic.
You don't want anyone.
We created you, but we don't want you living here.
Yeah.
So that's Del Rey's reasoning, and he won't officially marry her or say Anya's his mate, and this pisses off his second in command.
So not
Can him. You guess his name?
Oh, his name is Brimstone.
Yeah.
Or Brim for short, which is a badass name, to be fair. You know, I'm a little jealous.
So when he's on base, he's kind of like a big brother to Anya. You know, he doesn't touch her. He gives her moral support, emotional mm-hmm. support. She's also got her friends that she rescued, those three girls. So what he does is he sends out this memo. He sends out this memo that's big towards the end of the book. Lots of memos, tons of memos.
So it's just like the military.
Yes.
Yep.
So that since Del Rey won't recognize Anya as his Koya publicly, all of her authority based on their laws is stripped away.
Yeah.
And she is essentially just his bedwench.
Yep.
Ooh, one likes being a bedwench.
No.
So all Anya was looking to do, all she was trying to do, man, was try to make this base a home.
Yep.
We've got incoming soldiers from the Middle East who are also breeds that might not even have a freaking blanket. And she's just like, let's get some fucking quilts. I don't even care what they look like.
Grab a couple beanbag chairs. Let's spruce this place up.
Let's hire a kitchen crew instead of relying on coyote soldiers to clean up after themselves because it ain't happening. Okay? And more importantly, they need to find coyote genetic specialists.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you why. They have a more unique genetic makeup than the wolves or the lions, the cats, essentially, mm-hmm. the big cats. Okay. Anya is worried because the coyotes have a doctor, right? But she's a wolf specialist. She's not a coyote specialist. I mean, she's great, but she's not.
Those are different animals.
She's not akin to what's going on. And we learn that she's very short-sighted in what's in her knowledge to be able to treat coyotes, because during an attack on Anya, Del Rey is injured.
Yes.
And we discover he's got like super healing, you know, super healing properties, and we learn all kinds of medical stuff. And really, it's not that important to the story unless you're going to keep reading the books. So the doctor states that the coyotes were made even more perfect than wolves or cats as soldiers. And they, like you said, they can't.
I mean, that makes sense because they're non-empathetic.
Exactly. So they can't really feel empathy.
They don't really care what they're doing or how they're doing it. They just know that they're going to do it.
Right, bro. Someone yeah. call a therapist.
So this is all sounding very familiar.
So this is all the stuff that the alpha is not supposed to have to deal with, like finding the specialist, making sure that the soldiers have blankets, that the kitchen staff knows how to wash a goddamn dish. It's
crazy.
It's got two sides. Dishes have two sides.
Whoa.
They do have two sides.
Yes. They do?
I found that out
Oops.
Recently.
Oh.
So all the other breeds know this. All the other breeds know this. They call them like the cats call it's not their Koya, but their Prima and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's
yeah. Some. But because of the way the coyotes have been trained and bred, mm-hmm. it's they live in the most basic of living conditions, dude. It's like living in caves and stuff like that. It's totally cool with them. And Del Rey doesn't trust scientists to pass on their knowledge because yeah. he wants to keep all of their genetic secrets. In fact, they've like killed off a lot of these scientists.
Mm-hmm.
So Anya and Del Rey continue to bang. We'll get to that, Phoebe.
Yeah.
And he continues to brutally wound her pride and confuse mm-hmm. the emotions of the mm-hmm. troops, because he's saying she was acting as the Koya, and then all of a sudden he's back and she's not the Koya, because he's like,
he doesn't want to put her in harm's way.
I'm denying marrying / mating her.
Which is the weird thing, because he's not supposed to have empathy, but he actually does start having feelings for her.
And then even though in private, he does recognize her as the Koya.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. I'm not going to lie.
So anyway, Anya has been essentially making like treasonous acts. She's been seeking out these specialists, which Del Rey has completely forbidden. Like, you are not doing this.
Yeah.
And it turned out specialists are her family.
Oh.
Oops.
Yeah.
The ones that he had shot.
So it's not necessarily her father, but the cousins. The cousins know how to deal with coyote genetics and weren't a part of the experiments and stuff like that. Okay.
Because at the time, they were just running security.
Yeah. So here's where I'm going to speed things up a little bit, because we're going to get to the steamy parts and all that jazz. Yeah, so what we need to know is that Del Rey has constantly broken down Anya's pride and her self-worth. Okay.
Rude.
Gaslighting at its Rude. Finest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chef's kiss. No. And the soldiers on the base, there's like 40 of them or so, are very confused about what's going on. What did you do to our alpha? This is like half of them. What did you do to our alpha that will make him not recognize you as the Koya?
They think it's her fault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because of course he's probably gaslighting them at the same time he's gaslighting her, just differently.
Probably. And she's still trying, he's gaslighting everyone. And she's still trying to perform her duties as the Koya. Like, the place is a dump. Yeah. You know, nothing's clean. So she's in the common room. She's trying to clean up. And a little trigger warning here, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the soldiers loyal to Delgado kind of insults and talks down to her. And she sees nothing good is going to come from the confrontation that seems to be building. So she's just like, I'm just going to go to the kitchen and go work in there instead. But he follows her and demands to know what exactly this slight was. Okay, a scuffle ensues. Like, and I mean, there's knives and plates and stuff all over this place.
Yeah.
And
of course it's a kitchen. Yeah.
He grabs
Mess
her.
Hall.
He grabs her, and realizing that he's kind of like making the mistake because she feels physical pain, he accidentally throws her.
Okay.
Against trying to get her away from him?
Against a wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Cool.
So it breaks her wrists. It gives her a concussion.
Oof. Yikes.
And none of this would have happened if Delgado had just
been straight up with everything. Yeah.
Put his pride aside.
No shit.
And put his worries aside and made sure everybody was on freaking board.
Yeah. He says that he can't accept her as his Koya because he's afraid for her well-being, but can't he just protect her? Like, let everyone know, like, I mean, I know there's the outside world.
Exactly. That, and that's what he fears most of all, because she was targeted at one point, who we believe, by that council.
Right.
Right. We believe that council targeted her. And so he is so afraid that she's going to be hurt or taken because he's acknowledged her as his Koya. That's why he won't do it publicly.
When really everyone knows that she is anyway. And now Right. They're just confusing everything.
The whole thing is just a muddy, muddy water. So this triggers a very rushed series of events, and I'll break it down the best I can because it's a wild, muddled mess. So after the attack, or I guess I don't even know if I can call it an attack, the confrontation with that soldier, Anya flees the base. Her bodyguards, who are the three friends.
Yeah.
Oh, side note, the three friends, after she has been told that she is no longer, been stated that she is no longer the Koya, they were her bodyguards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They get sent away to other assignments.
Rude.
Of course. So she is completely and totally unguarded against a potential foe from within. Right. And this is all because of the gaslighting. All right. So after the attack, she flees the base with her bodyguards to the Wolf Haven, okay, where she receives some medical attention, and to see the Lupina, the equivalent to the Koya,
yeah,
to ask for asylum for these...
Lupina is the wolf version, right?
The wolf version, yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. To ask asylum for these geneticists who turn out to be her family, as her cousins, and her father, too. Her father's going to be coming along.
Yeah, he shows up.
At the meeting, they are... ambushed. So they meet up with her cousins and her father at like a spa. They were going, it's a place that they thought would be safe. And they are ambushed by the
like
city.
Like a Russian bathhouse?
But they're in Colorado. But yeah. We're trying to keep it familiar. We're trying to keep it familiar. It's a lady spa.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's better. A lady spa. So like men are.
Nice mani-pedi.
Exactly. Exactly. Another little side note.
I love a good mani-pedi.
I've had a pedi. I don't know if I've had a mani.
Your wife gives you a mani.
You
like
should
every...
get both. They're fantastic. Just saying.
Fair.
And they all give you men champagne. Should.
Since we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Nail health. Yeah. And so one of the bodyguards is, she's a, elite coyote soldier, but she's also a girly girl and just loves to get her nails done.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame
her. All right. So we're doing asylum for her cousins and her bodyguards. They get jumped. Ambushed at the meeting that they're having with the Lupina and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Delgado has kind of fucking come to his senses.
Thank God.
And shows up with his elite force and takes out the council and the traitor. So they have recruited on the base, not just coyotes, but other breeds, right? So there was a feline breed who was agreeing with the city council and actually sold out the coyotes to the city council. She was like the mole.
Just ratted them out,
yep,
huh?
She was the mole. And luckily after so Anya is shot in this whole thing, and luckily we've got those coyote specialists because she's got all these coyote hormones and lots of other coyote stuff going on inside of her, wink wink nudge nudge,
yeah, sure, literally, and inside of her,
yep. And they're luckily there to confirm that there will be a little cub on the way later on.
She knocked up.
Yeah, there's a very spicy scene that we will get to in our next segment. Delgado had given into all of Anya's suggestions. So we got a full kitchen staff. There's blankets for the soldiers. He's also professed the fact he's gotten over that block on his empathy, and he has professed his love for Anya.
Finally.
And they go through with that ceremony that he canceled and broke her heart over. So they're officially mated. They're officially wed.
Yes.
She is the Koya.
Yes.
And during the ceremony, we meet the protagonists in the next story.
The next story.
Casa and Cabal.
They're tigers.
She's a human and he's a Bengal.
Bengal tiger.
Fucking.
So what? That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wild stuff.
Yeah.
So, white Bengal or an orange Bengal?
I'm going to assume orange. Well, the white would be Siberian.
Yeah, it's still a Bengal though.
Yep. Mm. Yep. But specifically Siberian. This is just a Bengal tiger. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there were references to Siberia in the beginning in the books. So.
Oh. He's even taller.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like because, you know, tigers are bigger.
Right. So now we're competing between coyotes and tigers.
And wolves. We don't know about bears. I'm sure there are bears.
We brought bears in there.
There's got to be bears somewhere. In the 18 books, there's got to be bears.
Yeah, I would assume. But
so there's one
character named Bear in this book?
There is, yeah.
Yeah, there is a character named Bear in this book.
Why does this happen to me?
I don't know.
Just keeps happening.
Keeps you on your toes.
So this is going to...
That's with a bear reference.
There was a theme in this book that we really did not touch on because it's time for our next segment.
And now for a word from our sponsors.
And this episode is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixir Citrus Social Tonic.
Hey, Matt. Man, I've been invited to this Christmas party. I'm a little nervous. A little anxious, if you will.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to, like, talk to these people. Is there anything that you know about that could help me?
Well, what I always use when I have to go to a party is Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixir's Citrus Social Tonic.
What is that?
Well, it's hemp-derived THC, and it also has CBG.
Yo, what's CBG?
Well, I like to call it CB Good Morning or CB Get Ready.
Oh, because does it lower your anxiety?
Well, what it does is it calms your anxiety, and it gets you more sociable and ready for the day.
All right, man.
I think you should try some of
that. Let me give it a try. All right, I'm going to give this a taste. Dude, that tastes like sunshine in a can.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's delicious.
Oh, my word.
And it'll chill you out.
I'm ready to talk to people.
Yeah, you should be.
All right, guys. I mean, if you're feeling anxious about going to your next holiday party, Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixir's Social Tonic is for you.
And we're back.
And now it's time for our next segment, which is Phoebe Reads the Steamy. But guess what, guys? Our dear listeners, we've got a surprise because this book is, as you we have alluded to, is extra freaking steamy.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So we have brought in the big guns and brought in my lovely wife, Carla, to help Phoebe read the extra steamy.
Nice to join you guys today.
Welcome. We had to bring in backup for this one.
I'm so happy you're here. I needed it.
This was a lot.
It was a lot. Oh, my God.
Deep sighs.
Yeah.
Deep something.
Okay.
Happy to have you here, Carla. Love you. It's great to see you.
Good to see you guys too.
So happy you're here.
So where do you want to get into from the Taijuji?
Yeah. Okay.
It's up to you, ladies.
So I have a couple of things to say really quickly before we start. I love these kind of books. I love them. I would sit up like early in the morning when I couldn't sleep and I would read like these werewolfy type paranormal romantasy books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love them. I'm obsessed.
Paranormal romance.
They are my favorite genre of romance novels. And I know it's super weird, but you know what?
Everybody wants to bang
around. They get really steamy.
I never really read any of the... you know, more animalistic stuff.
You did like Mary Stewart for the most part.
Yeah, like everything was, even if it was in a fantasy world, it was all humans.
Yeah, okay.
Until the more recent, you know, romanticy where all of a sudden they've got, you know, wings of one sort or another. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, that's kind of hot.
Or there's dragons.
But so, I was not prepared for the nodding.
Yeah. Okay. So it's
that's
about
funny.
That.
That's a story.
I had to have a side conversation with David for a minute, and this is really embarrassing for me to admit.
Coming from a farm girl.
I'm a farmer, guys.
Well, you grew up as a farmer. You're not a farmer.
I'm not. Everybody in my family would tell you that I am not a farmer because I know it. But David was like, well, you know what the nodding is, right? And I was like, no, you know, we had to have an actual phone call conversation, which I hate doing also, by the way. I don't like talking on the phone.
Don't call Phoebe. It's a text or it's shut up.
Yeah. But David had to call me and like explain to me what.
What nodding is.
If you don't know, we're not going to explain it for you.
That is a simple Google search.
So that's
just look up coyote or dog and nodding.
Oh my God. It's so embarrassing, but it's so funny.
Be prepared to be disturbed.
Yeah. No, it's fine, guys. You'll be all right.
It's nature.
Nature, kids.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, before we get into the steamy, Carla has come up with a pretty cool disclaimer. So you want to drop that on us right now?
Yeah, this book definitely, definitely needs to come with a disclaimer. And if you are my father or my sons, you better stop listening now.
Please do.
I freaking love that.
Of course, Malcolm has already told us that he is not going to stop listening.
He's just going to scar himself.
It's on you, kiddo, because this one is kind of twisted.
Oh,
buckle up, dude. You should put this one down, but don't worry.
Take notes for your therapist.
There's therapy. Yeah. Get your notepad out. Get ready.
Or your health teacher.
Therapy. Ooh, health teacher.
Oh, no, that's
that'll be fun
no,
for them.
No.
That's
no.
a conversation I don't want him
no,
having.
No, because then you got the school calling. Oh, dear. No.
That's not
okay,
good.
We are going off here.
Anyway. Moving on. So let's talk about the first scene is Delray and Anya getting together for the first time.
It was a little jarring.
It was.
It was very jarring.
Yeah, because it's definitely goes like... She is like, well, you betrayed me, but I am so attracted to you. And
I want it, but I don't want it. And I want it. And then she comes out with, maybe I should tell him I'm a virgin while he's already fucking.
Jarring.
Yeah. And it is not like a sweet romantic.
No, it's clearly not rape.
Right.
But it's consensual feeling of like, I want it, but I don't want it the whole time. And she's like crying during it and is like, not like this.
It's a little traumatizing. It's sexy, but it's traumatish. But it's traumatizing. No, knowing what we know about Anya is, you know, this is her first time. That is traumatizing. That's yikes. But
the amount of desire they have for each other is
very
hot.
Very passionate. Yeah. Ooh, I get tingles from it.
And I like in the various scenes that I read, the progression, her needing control and losing control and then being comfortable losing control
to someone else. What I also like is that he wants to control this animalistic part of him that he normally can't, but he knows that he done fucked up.
He wants to control it for her.
He does, to keep her
safe.
And that's really important and awesome. Honestly, it's very cool. But like in this first scene, he marks her, which is a big thing in these books, the genre books, where like the alpha, especially because he's technically the alpha of this pack, right?
Ooh, yes.
Alpha male.
Whoa.
So they always mark their mate. And it's not only like a sign of sexual attraction between the mates themselves, but it's also like this sign of authority.
Yeah, like, it's like a brand. Like, this is my woman.
Yeah, and you need to respect her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that does happen.
Not just stay away from her. She's my property.
No.
But you need to respect her.
And that
her.
Does
she
happen.
She is my woman. And she's as equally in charge as
the Koya.
Exactly. The Koya or the Luna, depending on.
Or the Prima.
What animal?
I believe with the big cats, it's the Prima.
Yes. Depending on
who
we're talking
about. So it all depends. But that comes into play, and his pack does accept her, like, oh, that's his mate, and da da da. But then he rejects her. And
socially.
Yeah.
Not in the bedroom.
Right. And that's not cool, man.
Yeah, that left me feeling very icky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I gathered from that as to why he did it, he didn't want to, but he wanted to protect her from the people that are hunting her.
Right.
Or him.
But what that really did was actually make her more vulnerable, because then he's like essentially saying to his pack, like, no, she's not that important. She's just my little toy.
Bang buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not okay either.
What was the term that they used? The bed wench or something?
There were several used.
Yeah, no, it's neither here nor there. Yeah. But
mistress or something along those lines.
Not cool. Nice. Not cool. But we are jumping ahead a little bit because we're missing a couple steamy parts.
Okay, sorry.
Parts.
Yeah, you're running the show right here.
I know. I'm just saying.
We're backing it up. Backing it up.
So there's a couple car ride scenes where they're kind of getting hot and heavy.
I loved how it got interrupted by gunfire or something.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's like, the window down.
Like always.
And you're like, oh, my gosh, this person is sitting right there while you're doing all this.
Right. Yeah, there's a couple of times where they get very close. Like, so they spend like 8 months of not being together because she is just so traumatized.
Yeah,
and then
they had a tribunal.
Yeah, and then he forces her to like sleep in the same bed as punishment.
Icky.
Yes.
Gross.
Oh, so gross.
It wasn't punishment. It was more him just being the domineering.
Yeah.
To coin a phrase from another alpha hole.
Yeah. I like that.
Kind of to put her in her place, just like now you have to sleep.
Shout out
to
Sarah J. Maas on that one.
So, but yeah, like, so they keep coming like really close to getting back together because they have this sexual tension.
Chemistry.
Well,
it's not even tension. They're going at it.
They are fated mates, right? So, and again, this is another reoccurring theme with these books, like fated mates. Like they are soulmates. They're meant to be together.
Yeah, and then when they acknowledge it, their scents mingle and become something new. Mm-hmm. And
the weird like glands on the tongue, is that a normal thing?
The Old Spice.
For dogs.
Old Spice.
The Old Spice.
That's
that was a new twist I hadn't.
That
was interesting.
If you know, you know.
Well, if you secrete, you know.
Ew.
So it's pheromones, you know?
Yes. Just the pheromones. Them. Yeah.
Maybe it is the Old Spice. Yeah, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it is Maybelline.
The mental thought of like sucking on someone's tongue while their glands are,
that's not super sexy. That was not sexy.
Even if it tastes like cinnamon candy. So it's like, he's got like fireball tongue.
Yeah.
That's essentially what she's like, whiskey flavored fireball.
And for some
tongue.
Reason, that was really sexy to her. That's great.
I don't know about Sour Patch Kids, I could get on board with. Sour Patch Watermelon, I'd be game
to
for
each
that.
Their own.
Find Starburst, maybe?
Yeah. Anyway.
we're from the mid-coast of Maine, and Fireball is the thing.
Number one these days.
It's either that or Alan's Coffee.
I'm going to say, when I was reading this book, that was the first thing that came to mind when she said, tasted spicy. He's like,
really
Fireball.
It really was mine, too.
Stopping at the gas station at lunch and grabbing a couple shots of Fireball and Maritime
back to
hamburger.
The construction work.
Yep. And swinging the hammer again.
Gross.
Hey, where are you working today? Oh, down by the school. How many nips for you? About 6 of them should be good.
That's true. Anyway, so they keep coming, like having these like interactions where they're like getting really close to being back together, but then they get interrupted by usually gunshots.
Or emotions. Like his pig-headed ones.
Yeah. He goes in, he gets hurt really bad and gets into like a comatose type situation. And she has been on these hormone injections to stop this heat.
To protect her from going into heat because of the hormones and the pheromones that he's been releasing to her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because she's full human. She's not a hybrid like he is.
So she stops taking them because basically they don't make her horny. And she's like, I am actually attracted to this guy. I don't want to be, but I am. And I can't help it.
It's like the opposite of Viagra.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah. Yeah. So she stops taking
castration. Was that would be for us? There you go.
They're both going into heat. And he's in a coma. And she's climbing into bed naked with him.
What?
Yeah.
Rubbing up all against
because they
business.
Can't help it. That was pretty steamy in my opinion, but
That one.
Oh,
no worries.
It's okay. That's okay.
You but can read the rest of the book.
They don't end up doing anything. Because again, he's in comatose.
So can't really do anything.
Right. So what's the next part you read?
Well, I'm not sure because David marked
it's very disjointed. Yeah.
Parts and some of the bookmarks fell out.
Oh.
So I missed a few here and there.
That's all right.
There were so many.
There's too many. It's okay.
There were so many.
One thing that seemed overriding throughout all of them, though, was it always seemed that one or the other was using sex as a weapon.
Yes.
And they were like so passionate about each other, but they never both wanted it at the same time.
For the right reasons.
For the right reasons.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sex as a weapon seems to be an ongoing trend in this podcast.
It's been the second time it came up anyway.
She in particular was very much about using sex as a weapon against him.
Yeah. And how she was saying that, like, she hated him.
Yeah.
But wanted to do this anyway.
Right. She, like, she couldn't control.
Do you feel like it was her one bit of control
that
she could have?
I think it was. I think it was. Okay. Yeah. In my opinion. Only reading the sexy bits.
Only reading the sexy
bits.
But you're getting it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely getting it.
Yeah.
Because she really didn't have much else.
Yeah, she didn't have anything else. And then she ended up getting this respect for the clan that he had and everything. And then he took it away.
Yeah. While still having sex.
Frustrating.
So rude.
Yeah, it was a weird trajectory of their relationship.
Yep.
Like, I hate you, and then I think I'm falling for you, and this is going to work, and oh, now we've got more betrayal. And
it was very angsty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But sloppy, hot, wet sex.
It was. Yeah, it was.
It felt like both
especially
of
when
them
they finally
were kind of like cutting off their nose to spite their face. Like, they're both like trying to get back at each other in weird ways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at one point. He's just trying to protect her, but still satisfy this heating, this heat, which they can't deny.
Right.
It's like, it's
ingrained
it's a chemical
in there.
Thing
they're
stuck with.
Trying not to breathe.
A choice at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they can't live without each other. But then he's like refusing to accept her as his mate. And
acknowledge
that's just rude.
There was a surprise ending.
There was.
Do we want to call that a nice surprise ending?
We're talking about the wedding ceremony, right?
Oh, yeah. The epilogue.
Oh, no, that's not the section we're in, is it?
I read.
What'd you get?
So I was very...
Whatever that is.
That was a harmonica, my friend.
Oh, man.
Yep, whoops, I found one.
Someone throw that away.
It's gone now.
Will do.
Oh, boy.
Go for it, Carla.
Ready.
Go for
do it.
The ready. Harmonica's gone. The mic is yours.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that last that last scene was very, very hot and very dirty.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a breed thing.
It's definitely a breed thing.
There was
a lot of tongues and fingers, as I recall.
Oh. And there was some subtext or referencing to, I've completely forgotten what I was going to say.
You're not right.
That.
That's all right.
Not it was.
No.
Not the pre-cum, is it?
Oh, God.
Yes, the fluids.
So much pre-cum.
There's so many fluids in this book. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, there's a lot of hormones and fluids going on in these
Speaking
scenes.
Speaking of fluids, we've got Dr. Lovejoy speaking elixirs and freedoms inside. Much different than what we're going through in this book.
You know, I think Del Rey could use one of the strawberry chills.
Yeah, he could chill out. He could chill out a little bit. Yeah, he could just settle down on the couch and just take a break from the violence and the sex that he's doing. Anyway,
we're going to do an excerpt. Okay, let's do an excerpt.
All right. I have a little thing to read. Do you want to talk more about the last chapter?
The last chapter?
So the last chapter is pretty intense in that she's like totally taunting him and teasing him to begin with about, you know, having anal sex.
Right.
Because they haven't had sex in like 4 weeks because she got shot.
Injured and she's pregnant or something?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was kind of a bit of a shock that would be.
Agreed.
Yeah, they
the
had to
first
take a break
thing
for six
that she
weeks.
Would want.
Especially because she didn't like that like sort of position.
Yeah, because she had such a bad reaction to that position the first time.
That was how her virginity was sort of taken. So yeah. She was, and he was very adamant, like, no, I want to be soft and slow and loving and all this stuff. But then, yes. And then she was like, no.
She was like, no,
take me now.
Take me to Pound Town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was very hot.
It was.
But I just struggled with their emotions so much that it did kind of trigger with the first. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he's all like tongues and fingers at first. And then she's like, give it to me.
Yeah.
And then he does and he knots and it's the whole.
I love the fact that the first chapter you read was so fucking weird, and the last chapter you read
so weird.
Was, I just got
was an anal sex scene followed by a marriage ceremony.
That's true. Yeah.
This is where I'm just, all right, I guess this is okay. This is where we are. Yeah. Okay.
So
I gave you no end of joy. Anyway,
I have a little excerpt to read to you, Carla. So Phoebe does read the steamy. It was rapture. It was incredible. It was pleasure that tortured his dreams and waking hours with the same driving force. The memory of this, of Anya, slick and tight, clenched around him like a milking fist.
Sorry.
6 to noon.
Oh. Sorry. Anyway,
I think that just perfectly captures how they're talking about the sex throughout the whole thing, that it's like so all encompassing. And it's like when they feel that need, they can't physically ignore it. They just have to have each other.
And they can't get enough of it.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't matter if they hate each other at that moment.
Yeah.
They just still have to do it. And then it's like so passionate and raw.
Yeah.
And wet.
Oh
very wet.
My word, is it wet.
It's damp. Yeah. It's swamp like.
Fluids everywhere.
That's a different book.
That's a different book.
Anyway, yeah. So
all right, Phoebe.
Let's rate this.
Rate that steamy.
1 to 5 on the steamy level.
This was the coyote's mate. So are we just kind of whimpering at how pathetic this was, or are we howling at the moon?
So I do like these kind of books on the steamy side of things.
Yeah.
But this isn't like my most, like, I've read some.
This is not the smuttiest coyote sex novel that you've read?
No.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So, specifically about coyotes?
No.
Okay,
no.
Werewolves.
I'm into the werewolves thing.
We've touched on the topic that we're
For me personally, steamy wise, I would probably give it a 3.5.
Wow, that's low.
Yeah, but it's angst.
Yeah, the confusion emotions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. What about on the romance?
The romance, so. Again, I would probably give it a 3, but only because they do end up together in the end.
We're 3s all around for you.
And it's torturous going through it as far as,
it really is. Yeah.
Carla, do you have an adjustment?
I'd give it like a 2 on the romance scale.
Fair.
But yeah? I didn't read a whole lot of it, but I didn't like understand their relationship.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like
I read the
whole
book, neither did I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steamy, that's a tougher one for me. I think just the descriptions of what they do.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
Is really steamy.
Yeah.
I'd say 7 or 8.
Oh,
so we're howling at the moon here.
But
we're
the
parking.
Emotions mixed in with it make
they
it like
tone it
a
down.
2.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you're reading it, it's hot, but the emotion just turns you off. It's
I agree.
I don't like this.
Yeah.
So we go 6 to noon back to 6.
Back to 6. Yeah, yeah. We're back to half mast after that.
Drooping.
Just drooping.
Yeah. But I think that's, the emotions play such a huge
they really
part
do.
In, in feeling that way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, I got to say, guys, and you know I'm always honest about these book reviews. Laura Lee, you missed the mark on this. There are typos. There are run-on sentences.
Oh,
whoever your editor is should be fired. You know, dude, I can edit better than this. Like, this is terrible. From a reading standpoint, it was painful. Like, the story was almost interesting. Maybe, but remember, this is book 19 out of 33. Thank you. It should be better than this at book 19.
So we'll blame the editor and the publisher. And
maybe there's ghostwriters. I don't know. Laura Lee is definitely a pen name. If I meet you in person, I'll ask you to sign my copy. I will tell you that your book sucks to your face. I'm sorry, but I'm just being honest. I want to give our listeners a fair review.
This is not one I'm planning on picking
up. No, I was not a huge fan. It does not make me want to read the first one.
I got this book for 50 cents, a thrift store.
You overpaid.
I overpaid. Yeah, I did.
All right.
But if you're into coyote sex and some weird stuff and storylines that don't make any sense, then maybe it's for you. A lot of
like military things.
Yeah.
Apparently, Laura Lee is the New York Times bestseller of author of Mercury's War, which I've not read. Maybe that one's a better
one. Maybe it's better.
I think that's part of the Breed series.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Never mind.
That's what she's known for.
This has been Paperback Romance, brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. This book has been Laura Lee, Coyote's Mate, a novel of the Breed series. As always, I have been Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads your steamy.
And I'm Carla.
Paperback Romance is written by David Joseph, produced and edited by Matt Mulry. Social media also falls on Matt. Our steamy reader and show artist is Phoebe Mulray. And thanks again to our special guest, Carla. Our book this time was Coyote's Mate by Laura Lee, copyright 2009. Our theme music is Devil in the Bottle by iColix, found on the Free Music Archive. Thank you all for listening. As always, please like, rate, follow, subscribe, drink Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. And dear listeners, we will see you next time.
Bye.